The House will come to order. Members, please take your seats. Members and visitors in the gallery, please rise for the prayer. The prayer today will be given by Pastor Greg Peters from Parkview Baptist Church in Palm Coast at my invitation. Pastor Peters, please approach the well.
Let us pray. Lord, I humbly come before you on behalf of all of us, and I thank you for the privilege that you've given to us to live in this phenomenal country and to be a part of this incredible state. You have blessed each and every one of us, and you have placed us here for such a time as this. I thank you for our great governor, Ron DeSantis, and the army of men and women around him who collectively serve us and serve you, knowing that as we serve others, we do serve you. The men and women in this room have blessed me. They've blessed my family. The men and women in this room have blessed my church. In fact, the people of my church have been blessed. And I'm not so sure that the men and women in this room understand just how much they've blessed us. It's been a privilege to be a part of this great state and this great community. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom, the decisions, and the leadership of the men and women in this room. They've risen to the challenge, and they have not only served our families and our churches and our constituents, but they've also served our schools and our children so well. It's an honor to be alongside of such great leaders. Now, according to your word, these men and women have been anointed and appointed by you to serve, lead, and guide. And I pray our best and our blessings over the leaders gathered here today. And may every single one of us be reminded that even though we lead at the highest of levels, there is one who leads from the highest and from the heavens. O Lord, remind us as we humbly serve, there is one God, and it is not us. Today and every day, we lead under your sovereign authority. May we have the humility of a penny, and along with that penny proclaim, in God we trust. I pray all these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Clerk will unlock the machines and members will record their presence. Have all members recorded their presence? The clerk will lock the machine and announce the presence of a quorum.
114 members voting. A quorum is present, Mr. Speaker.
A quorum being present, the House of Representatives is declared officially in session for the 126th regular session of the legislature since statehood in 1845. Members and visitors in the gallery, please rise and remain standing for the presentation of the colors, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. The colors will be presented today by members of the Palm Coast Fire Department Honor Guard. We're pleased to have with us Lieutenant Patrick Giuliano, Lieutenant Jeffrey Nunziato, Driver Engineer Brandon Davis, Driver Engineer Dylan Mulligan, and Firefighter Gunner Pemberton. Post the colors.
Guard, halt, lift, face. Mr. Speaker, the colors are present.
Present the colors.
Guard, order, arms.
Leading the pledge today is Representative McFarland from her desk. Representative McFarland, you're recognized.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Joining us today to sing the national anthem is Kamani McCoy from Flagler Palm Coast High School. Ms. McCoy, you're recognized to sing the national anthem.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave o'er the land of the free and the
You know that's good, but you should hear her sing Whitney Houston. Come on, you're special. Retire the colors.
Guard, order, arms. Post.
Members, you may be seated. I'm pleased to introduce our doctor of the day, Dr. Carrie Vey, a family medicine practitioner from Daytona Beach, at my invitation. Thank you for being here, doctor. Welcome to the Florida House. We're also honored today to have St. John's County Sheriff Robert Hardwick as our Law Enforcement Officer of the Day at my invitation. Sheriff Hardwick's law enforcement career spans almost 30 years and includes stints with the Florida Department of Corrections, St. Augustine Beach Police Department, and Flagler County Sheriff's Office. He served 7 years as the Chief of Police at St. Augustine Beach before being elected Sheriff in 2020. He's a veteran of the U.S. Army and the Florida Army National Guard. He served in multiple deployments, including Operation Desert Storm, and Operation Iraqi Freedom, and retired after 25 years of military service. Sheriff Hardwick, thank you for being here today. Thank you for your service and the sacrifices you've made. You've dedicated your life to giving to this community. I know you as a man of integrity, and I couldn't be prouder to have you as our sheriff in St. John's County. God bless you, my friend. Welcome to the Florida House. Are there corrections to the journal? Hearing none, show the journal approved. It's now my pleasure to introduce the Lieutenant Governor and members of the Florida Cabinet present. The Lieutenant Governor of the State of Florida, the Honorable Jeanette Nunez. The Attorney General of the State of Florida, Honorable Ashley Moody. The Commissioner of Agriculture of the State of Florida, the Honorable Wilton Simpson. And we're also pleased to have with us today Congressman Byron Donalds. It is also my pleasure to introduce justices from the Supreme Court of Florida. Joining us today are the Honorable Carlos Muniz, Chief Justice. The Honorable Charles Kennedy. The Honorable John Curiel. The Honorable Renata Francis. The Honorable Jamie Grosshands. The Honorable Jorge Labarga. And the Honorable Meredith Sasso. Welcome to the Florida House. I'm advised that we have some senators in the room. Sergeant Hosford, you're recognized. From Representative Joseph's desk, I believe.
Mr. Speaker, a committee from the Senate.
Let the committee be received. Thank you, Senator Albritton. We're excited to have the great relationship we have with our friends across the aisle and the rotunda, and we look forward to another fantastic consequential session with you guys as part of our partners. Congratulations. Thanks for being here. And we'll see them again a little later. We also have with us today former speakers of the Florida House of Representatives. As I call your name, please stand and be recognized. Joining us today are Steve Crisafulli. Honorable Steve Crisafulli. The Honorable Richard Corcoran. And the Honorable Lee Moffitt. Now, just so you know, Lee Moffitt had his first opening day in 1974, and 50 years later, he hasn't missed one. So congratulations on 50 years. Leader Grant, you're recognized for introductions. Leader Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We are pleased to have with us today several former Republican leaders. Former leaders, please stand and be recognized as your name is called. Members, please hold your applause until the end. We have with us today the Honorable Adam Hasner, the Honorable Sandra Mortham, the Honorable Jerry Maygarden, and the Honorable Ray Rodriguez.
Thank you. Representative Driscoll, you're recognized for an introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. We are pleased to have with us today a former Democratic leader, the Honorable Chris Smith. Welcome back to the Florida House.
Members, we're also pleased to have with us today several former members. Former members, please stand to be recognized as your name is called, and please hold your applause until we're done. Present are the Honorable Fran Carlton, the Honorable Marty Coley, the Honorable Juan Fernandez Barquin, the Honorable Ron Greenstein, the Honorable Chris Hart, the Honorable Dave Kerner, the Honorable Daisy Morales, the Honorable Barry Richard, the Honorable Joe Sanders, and the Honorable Carlos Guillermo Smith. And we have more. Hold on. The Honorable Nick Thompson, the Honorable Clay Ingram, the Honorable Matt Caldwell, the Honorable Gaston Cantens, the Honorable Kerry Baker, the Honorable Paul Hawks, the Honorable Jeff Cotkamp, the Honorable Bob Cortez, the Honorable Mel Ponder, the Honorable Cord Byrd, the Honorable Mook Bernard, the Honorable J.R. Williamson, the Honorable Scott Plakin, the Honorable Jason Fisher, the Honorable Alan Williams, the Honorable Eddie Gonzalez, the Honorable Jennifer Webb, the Honorable Carlos Trujillo, the Honorable Manny Diaz, and the Honorable Bobby Powell. I think we have a quorum. Members, former members, it's so good to see each and every one of you and hope to chat with you afterwards. Now, members, we are pleased to be joined by our newest member, Representative Mike Redondo, who was officially sworn in last month and who will be ceremonially sworn in today. Representative McClure, you're recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having received the certification from the Secretary of State, I move that the certification be accepted as prima facie evidence of election and that Mike Redondo be seated as a member of the House.
Representative McClure moves that the certification be accepted as prima facie evidence of election and that Mike Redondo be seated as a member of the House, having already officially taken the oath of office. All in favor say yea.
Yay.
Opposed, no. The motion is approved. I will now ask Representative Redondo to come to the front of the House chamber where Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Carlos Muniz, will administer the oath of office.
Put your right hand and repeat after me. I, Mike Redondo, do solemnly swear.
I, Mike Redondo, do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
The duties of member of the House of Representatives.
The duties of member of the House of Representatives.
On which I am now about to enter.
On which I am now about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Representative Redondo. And I also understand that he has some guests with us today on the floor. I would now like to recognize Marcos and Ana Maria Redondo and Alina Yarmolova, who have traveled to Tallahassee for this occasion. Folks, welcome to the Florida House. For what purpose does Representative McClure rise?
To make a motion, Mr. Speaker.
You're recognized.
Mr. Speaker, whereas the House has examined the qualifications, elections, and returns pursuant to Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution of the State of Florida, I move that the House find and declare that Representative Redondo has been duly elected and is a qualified member of the House of Representatives.
Representative McClure moves that the House find and declare that Mike Redondo has been duly elected and is a qualified member of the House of Representatives. All in his favor say yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. The motion is agreed to. Congratulations again. Speaker Pro Tem Clements, you're recognized to make an introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, it's my privilege to present Speaker Renner's family in the West Gallery. I'll begin with his young son, William, and his older sister, Abigail. And accompanying with them today is Speaker Renner's best friend in the world, his confidant, his lover, and the mother of his children. Would you please welcome all of them, Adriana Renner. Members, let's take a moment to welcome all of our friends and family who have made the trip to Tallahassee to join us for the opening day. We're glad to have you here. Welcome to the Florida House. Members, if we can now be seated and direct our attention to the front for Speaker Renner's remarks.
Well, good morning. And again, to our friends and guests in the gallery, welcome to the Florida House. I want to especially recognize the people whose patience and support keeps me going and keeps me focused, my three favorite people, my wife Adriana, daughter Abigail, and son William. I love you guys very much. Well, members, we achieved many longstanding goals last session. We protected life and the constitutional right of self-defense. We reformed property insurance and ended Wild West litigation. We closed Enterprise Florida as a source of corporate welfare. We pushed back against ESG and created more affordable housing for hardworking Americans, hardworking Floridians. Perhaps our biggest victory came through numerous measures and funding to protect children, defend childhood, and make sure that every boy and girl in this state can thrive. By passing HB 1, you made Florida the undisputed champion of educational freedom and provided every child the opportunity to succeed in the classroom. This session will ensure adequate funding for students with unique abilities and a more efficient system for parents and students who embrace educational freedom. We'll also provide students greater support to reach grade level in the all-important topics of reading and math. As good stewards of taxpayer money, we balanced our budget, paid off debt early, and set aside $11 billion in reserves, all while returning $2.7 billion to people who know how to spend their money better than government, Florida's taxpayers. By rejecting unnecessary spending, we were able to invest record amounts on infrastructure, including transportation, land conservation, and water quality. We raised salaries for teachers and other state workers and approved record spending for our best in the nation education system. Despite our successes, new challenges and opportunities confront us. Florida's long-term infrastructure needs far exceed current funding. So in collaboration with our Senate partners, we will commit new funds from the Seminole Compact to support Florida's environmental infrastructure and protect our natural resources for the future. Speaking of our Senate partners, we enjoy a close relationship with our colleagues across the rotunda, and I continue to appreciate President Pasadomo for her leadership and thoughtfulness on the big issues facing Florida. One of those important issues is healthcare, including mental health. We aim to bring greater transparency to the price and quality of healthcare. We will look for ways patients can save money using that information, and we will remove protectionist barriers so healthcare professionals from outside Florida can move here, relieving critical shortages and providing more healthcare access to all Floridians. We will support the Senate's proposal for a teaching hospital to help those facing severe mental illness. Meanwhile, House members have proposed Baker Act reforms that will provide meaningful treatment and proposals for homelessness, in which mental health is often a cause. We can fund these new initiatives to improve health care, including mental health, but only if we restrain spending elsewhere. This means we must eliminate what remains of corporate welfare, avoid taking on new debt, and lower discretionary spending across the board. We must also build a budget that can withstand economic downturn tomorrow while protecting essential services. As we did last session, we will prioritize the unique needs of children. We'll help parents with children in poverty overcome the fiscal cliffs of public assistance programs and support other healthcare initiatives that benefit children both before and after they are born. Fortunately, most children start out life healthy and ready to reach their potential. Unfortunately, they face daily threats to their mental health that even the most involved parents struggle to confront. Children have always faced mean girls and boys, but social media has changed the game and causes unprecedented damage to our children's mental health. And here's the truth. The social media companies know this. They also know that they design social media to be as addictive as possible. Before social media, those mean kids barely made a dent in our children's mental health. But the rise of social media has hollowed out what should be a childhood full of happiness and big dreams. Recent surveys of high school girls prove its devastating effects. When asked, "Have you experienced persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness within the past year?" 57%. Yes. Have you experienced poor mental health during the past 30 days? 41%. Yes. And when asked, have you seriously considered suicide within the last year? 30%. Yes. This is the legacy of social media, and it is a global problem, but it cannot be the fate of our children, and we must act. We will take bold steps like age verification to rescue our children from technology that cripples their sense of self-worth and purpose. Similarly, where pornography is concerned, the rules for adults can't be the same for children. We cannot stand by and allow children to access hardcore pornography, and we plan to do something about it. Call it a culture war if you want, but we intend to defend common sense against those who want to obliterate the distinction between adulthood and childhood. It is a battle we intend to win. We should always begin every legislative session by applying the wisdom we learn from experience. The Florida Way embraces the timeless wisdom of our nation's core foundations and common sense cultural norms. More than two centuries of American history and our own experience prove that the Florida Way delivers a prosperous society in which everyone can thrive. Similarly, years of experience also demonstrate that when states and nations have adopted policies that reject those foundations, the result is always the same: the collapse of public safety, economic decline, and centralized control over every aspect of life. In our own country today, we see a rejection of common sense and the rule of law, causing the kind of collapse in public safety that we've only seen in other countries. The nation of Colombia is a good example. They took the wrong path and allowed leftist guerrillas to effectively control large parts of the country. When America suffered a crisis of confidence, Ronald Reagan provided a vision to restore America as a shining city on a hill. When the Nazis set their sights on the United Kingdom, Winston Churchill led his nation to victory. And when Colombia faced imminent dangers from leftist guerrilla groups, they turned to Álvaro Uribe. As president of Colombia, his leadership truly saved his nation. Members, it's my privilege to recognize former President Uribe, who, due to weather, is on his way here and his visit is delayed. But you'll have an opportunity to hear from him and other special guests tomorrow. One of those I'm privileged to introduce is the mayor of Tuluá, Colombia, Mayor Gustavo Velez, and his wife, Luz Elena. Our business goes on, rain or shine. Okay. All right, we'll stand by for just a minute. Just watch the top of the rotunda.
Yeah, we're just under
warning. Okay.
Just under warning right now until 11:15, so we're good. We'll keep everybody.
If we need to scatter, the sergeant's going to let us know. So, members, let me continue, and we'll stay on schedule here. Or not. Somebody's enjoying pressing that button, I know. We'll keep everyone advised if we do need to take any serious shelter. And on a serious note, members, Mayor Velez knew firsthand the risk that the leadership position of mayor of Tuluá posed for him and his family. It would have been easy for him to walk away from the fight. Instead, he is leaning in, putting his family and putting his community ahead of his own family's safety, believing that his community and his country are worth saving. His leadership is proof that one person can make a big difference. Mayor Velez recently won his election, running on a platform of public safety and holding the corrupt accountable. Mayor Velez and Mrs. Velez, once again, welcome to the Florida House. God bless you. I know a little something about Tuluá because someone very special to me was born there, my wife Adriana. She suggested that we invite these leaders to share the challenges Colombia overcame under President Uribe, but unfortunately now face again. With the help of Representative Borrero and others, we are happy to host the public to attend Colombian American Day tomorrow and hear from these leaders beginning at 10 a.m. in the Cabinet Room on the lower level. Our Colombian guests know too well that public safety is the first priority of government. Once lost, it's hard to regain. This session, we will continue our commitment to keep Floridians safe, empowering law enforcement to combat human trafficking, punishing flash mobs that target retailers, and taking a hard line against juveniles who steal guns and use them to commit crimes. Last session, we delivered better benefits for law enforcement and first responders. This session, we will extend penalties for anyone who commits violence against law enforcement and bring an end to citizen review boards that have been weaponized by defund the police activists. Meanwhile, for schools that refuse to follow common sense steps, like locking their doors, we will pass new measures to protect our children. But members, there's a new threat to public safety and the dangerous explosion of anti-Semitism. I have sent correspondence to FDLE requesting the formation of a special task force to investigate and prosecute anti-Semitic acts in our state. Holocaust survivor David Schachter recently warned us that intimidation, if left unchecked, leads to open violence. We must all speak and act with moral clarity now against those who give aid and comfort to those who advocate a new Holocaust. In Florida, we will say clearly, never, never again. You know, Florida's success is actually built into our Constitution. Our balanced budget requirements protect our state's fiscal health, and we benefit from new ideas and better governance with constitutionally mandated term limits. The federal government completely lacks fiscal discipline, and moral and national financial collapse is certain unless we change direction now by enacting clear constitutional spending limits. Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution sets the process by which states can propose amendments. Later today, we'll have the opportunity to vote to reaffirm Florida's support for imposing term limits and a balanced budget on the federal government, changes that are needed, I believe, to save our country. Amid significant national and international challenges, Florida rises above the rest with an unbreakable commitment to our nation's core foundations. By remaining faithful to those foundations, Florida has become a place of great prosperity, opportunity, and quality of life. This session, we will continue our work to help every Floridian reach their full potential and make Florida the envy of the nation today and for years to come. God bless each of you in the great state of Florida. Are there communications on the desk?
On the desk, Mr.
Speaker. Read the communication.
Dear President Pasadomo and Speaker Renner, as Governor of Florida, I respectfully request the opportunity to present the State of the State Address to the joint session of the Florida Legislature on Tuesday, January 9, 2024 at 11 o'clock a.m. Florida's success is proof positive that when you establish a foundation of governing on conservative principles and protect the freedom of your residents, success will follow. I look forward to seeing what we can accomplish together over the next year. Sincerely, Ron DeSantis, Governor. Reading of the communication, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. For what purpose does Representative Perez rise?
For a motion, Mr. Speaker.
You're recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the clerk read the message from the Senate and that the rules be waived to introduce SCR 1302, read it twice by title, and upon its adoption, lay HCR 1247 on the table.
Representative Perez moves that the clerk read the message from the Senate and that SCR 1302 be introduced and read twice by title and upon its adoption lay HCR 1247 on the table. All in favor say yea.
Yay.
Opposed no. Show the motion is approved. Read the message followed by a reading of the resolution twice by title.
The Honorable Paul Renner, Speaker, I am directed to inform the House of Representatives that the Senate has adopted SCR 1302 and request the concurrence of the House. Tracy C. Quintella, Secretary. By Senator Mayfield, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1302, a concurrent resolution providing that the House of Representatives and the Senate convene in joint session for the purpose of receiving a message from the Governor. By Senator Mayfield, Senate Concurrent Resolution 1302, a concurrent resolution providing that the House of Representatives and the Senate convene in joint session for the purpose of receiving a message from the Governor.
Representative Perez, you're recognized to explain the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The concurrent resolution authorizes the House and the Senate to meet in a joint session at 11 a.m. to receive the governor's message.
Are there questions? Representative Perez, you're recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we adopt SCR 1302.
Representative Perez now moves that we adopt SCR 1302. Is there debate? Seeing none, all in favor say yea.
Yay.
Opposed no. Show the resolution adopted and HCR 1247 laid on the table. For what purpose does Representative Garrison rise?
For a motion, Mr. Speaker.
You're recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the committee be appointed to notify the Senate that the House is convened, that we are ready to transact business.
Very well. Representative Garrison moves that a committee be appointed to notify the Senate that the House is convened and ready to transact business. All in favor say yay.
Yay.
Opposed no. Show the motion approved. The chair appoints Representative Fine, Representative McLean, Representative Rommel, Representative Trunow, Representative Silvers, Representative Arrington, Representative Williams, and Representative Leak, who will serve as chair. The committee is excused to perform its assignment. And while we're waiting, I'd like to introduce, we have more former members. We have Mike Miller. I'm an Honorable Mike Miller. Honorable Ronald Brise, and the Honorable Maria Sachs. Representative Perez, you're recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn for the purpose of receiving reports, holding committee and subcommittee meetings, and conducting other House business to reconvene for the joint session at 11 a.m. today, January 9th, 2024, or upon the call of the Speaker.
Representative Perez moves that the House adjourn for the purpose of receiving reports, holding committee and subcommittee meetings, and conducting other House business to reconvene for the joint session at 11 a.m. today, or upon the call of the Speaker. All in favor say yea.
Yea.
Opposed, no. Show the motion is approved. The House stands adjourned. And members, if you will stay close by, we've only got about 5 minutes for the joint session. And Sergeant Hosford, if you will, secure the chamber.